victory. We are the
Sore Losers!
What up? What up? Welcome back. I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. I'm going to run the show. Some people are going to agree with my opinion. Some people call me an ignorant idiot. But either way, I know the sports, and so I'm going to talk about them.
Yeah, what up? It's Ray. I missed another lock last night. I said Lions minus 7. I think they got boat raced by 40. Man, did I miss on that one, guys. I am in the cellar right now. If I need to get to 80%, I've got to start picking some winners, and that's going to start today. Eddie?
My name is Eddie. I probably don't know the least about sports, but I'd say the more we're doing this podcast, I'm learning, guys. I'm learning about sports, and before you know it, I may know more than all you guys.
And we're like top 100 in the podcast world in sports.
Top 50, my man.
Is that impressive? Yeah,
it's impressive.
I mean, there's TV shows that aren't even as high as us in sports.
Right, because people watch the TV show.
Right, but they also are doing other things during the day, so they would still listen to it on podcast.
Hey, I'm excited. I'm excited we're in the top 50. It's amazing. And it's all because of you guys. You guys that downloaded.
Thank you, man.
Oh, I thought you were about to say us.
Hey, thank
listen
you.
Dude.
I appreciate
us.
That.
We really do appreciate it.
I thought he was about to say it's all because of Ray and Eddie.
Oh, he's not talking about us?
No, I said it's the people that download it.
Oh, okay. And they're rating it. That's a huge thing.
Yes, when you rate it, all that, we really do appreciate it. It's
give
amazing.
Us those little 5 stars and then say something about it. But be honest. Like if it,
No.
No, be honest. Say you like it. Know what I'm saying? Say you love it. We're the best thing you've heard on podcasts.
And you can follow us on Twitter, Sore Losers Show on Twitter.
And Instagram, Sore Losers Podcast.
Yeah. I think we should just promote one and then link the, I don't know. Maybe it gets confusing.
I'm thinking about starting a Facebook page too.
Okay, oh, I like it. Okay, so let's just jump right into it. I don't have a game today. I was just so excited about Monday Night Football last night that I have so much to talk about.
Don't worry, my friend. I got you covered. I have a game.
Okay.
Did you hear about Dustin Johnson and Wayne Gretzky's daughter?
Okay, don't do this fake radio thing. I told you about that this morning at 4 a.m.
Lunchbox, have you heard about this?
Did you not? Yesterday we were supposed to get to it when I said on the schedule it said Trouble in Paradise.
You're the worst at setting something up. Have you guys heard about this story?
No, after Monday Night Football, I have it written down.
But
Dustin Johnson is back on the market.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Dustin Johnson is back on the
market. No, I didn't send it out because.
Well, then how did you expect us to see that?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Oh.
But what was your game?
So, my game was would you pick her? What's her name?
Paulina Gretzky.
Paulina Gretzky.
You are the worst of the game. Would you pick her or her?
No.
Good.
Paulina Gretzky or Wayne Gretzky?
To what?
What?
Date, hang out with, play hockey, whatever. Just whatever
is
you want.
Is that really your question?
You have lost your mind.
That wasn't a good game? Well, you didn't come prepared. I thought I'd come something off the dome, dude. Like, hey, so Dustin Johnson, Paulina Gretzky, they're no more.
Don't act like it was off the dome. You said, don't worry, I got a game for you. Would you take her...
Or that's the dome working.
Or Wayne Gretzky. But you act like you had a game prepared.
No. I got you covered, like off the dome.
I thought you were going to say, would you take Paulina?
Do you know what off the dome means?
I thought you were going to say Paulina Gretzky or the socialite that he cheated with.
The socialite didn't look that hot.
I didn't think so either. That's exactly what I... What is her...
Pull up a picture.
I couldn't tell you her name.
Google
you just said
Dustin
socialite.
Johnson,
okay,
socialite.
Dustin Johnson socialite.
And you can tell me your name.
God, how terrible would it be that person?
And socialite means it's somebody that's very social. They're in the Instagram world. They're also a model, probably. They travel. They're well-versed.
Probably come from money. Is
that's
really
what socialite
that
means.
They just hang out at
her
rich
name
parties.
Is Yassi Safai.
Yeah, pull up images of her because couple images I saw I didn't think was that attractive compared to Paulina Gretzky. I think
yes,
Paulina Gretzky is smoking.
Sorry, what's her name?
Paulina Gretzky?
Yeah. You didn't say that right the first time. I got you covered,
She
though.
Is a smoke show. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolute bombshell. So maybe I didn't look at enough pictures of this. But we're going to... Do you see her?
I don't know.
Time and time again,
is.
We've
There's
seen
so many...
with all these athletes, people, they don't... When they cheat or they... go to another person, it's not as hot or attractive.
Exactly.
The Tiger person you're with is the hottest.
Especially, Tiger Woods, the Perkins waitress, come on, man.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger,
the maid.
The maid.
Oh, my
I want to say Roger Clemens. I hope I'm right with that one.
Roger Clemens? What are you talking about?
No.
I don't think you can say that because I don't think that happened.
Oh, yeah, dude. No way. Paulina Gretzky for sure more than this chick.
What were you thinking about, right? Who else? There's so many. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, Tiger and all the 100 chicks.
You just said that.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. This podcast is off to a good start
today.
Sorry,
dude. I was looking up Yassi Safai.
But what it is Tiger has so many at his disposal. I mean, that's what it is. It's just at the disposal.
Hold on, though. Does Paulina Gretzky play golf?
I don't care.
Yeah, because this one plays golf.
Who cares?
Obviously he was having fun playing golf. Someone that shares interests with him. Maybe there was nothing in common with him and
Gretzky. Except for that they have a kid and...
But they're not married.
They've been engaged for like a year.
But they're not married.
Yeah, so it's okay.
I think it's better that they're not married and he made that decision now or whatever. So did he get busted? How did this work? What happened?
I'm not quite sure. I just know that over the weekend, Paulina Gretzky removed all images of Dustin Johnson off her Instagram and social media. She still followed him, but removed all...
Dude, Wayne Gretzky's going to kick his ass.
Wayne Gretzky would get crushed.
What?
Anytime you clean the Instagram of all the pictures, that means it's over.
Yes, sort of like when you play for a team and you clean your Instagram. Ooh, well, not looking good.
Yeah, it's official.
Hey, and I got some stuff with Roger Clemens, so I'm good.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was back in the day, boys. We're talking like 7 years ago or more.
He was cheating?
It was an affair.
With?
Tabloids rolled with
it. Oh.
Some chick that wasn't as attractive as who he was currently with.
With what artist? It was an artist, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
You don't want to
who
say
is it?
Mindy?
Mindy McCready.
Mindy McCready. Oh, RIP. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that's right.
She overdosed.
Sort of like David Beckham. Supposedly he cheated on Posh Spice a long time ago.
With?
Randoms.
It's got to be hard, dude. It's got to be hard being a dude like David Beckham. Really. Like, you know, okay, you're married to the hottest girl ever, but you're the sexiest dude on the planet. Like, every girl likes
every
you.
Every girl
that's
is
tough.
Throwing themselves
that's
at
hard.
It has to be impossible. Well, it's sort of like... But same thing for women. When you're a famous, hot woman, every guy is like, whoa.
Yeah, it's tough.
It has to be tough to be in a relationship and be that famous.
It is. And then people are like, oh, they have kids or whatever. It doesn't make it any easier. Like, it's just hard.
Actually, kids make it harder.
What?
Because you're fighting at home and then you're out and you don't have the kids and this good-looking chick's like, hey, you're like, woo-hoo.
But these things never end well. So
you have to know in the
back of your head, hey, I like that temptation, but I've seen way too many movies and lifetimes and true stories that this doesn't ever end good.
But don't you think about that when you're taking a shot? Like, oh, I probably shouldn't take a shot, but
no, because a shot,
all my boys are here, we're taking a shot.
I disagree, because a shot, I've taken plenty of shots and it's ended well plenty of times. So I don't know what the difference
is. Dude, with the affair thing, it's always 2 years down the road. Oh, she found out 3 years down the road. They always find out.
You're right.
So I'm taking Paulina Gretzky.
I'll go Wayne Gretzky.
I don't know. Are we choosing the career of
We're talking the two girls. He can have Wayne Gretzky. He sort of like, right, when you weren't here one day.
Dumbest game ever.
I'll take Wayne.
He talked about how he made out with him. Did you hear that one about he made out with a chick because she looked like Joe Montana?
No, but I saw some comments enough to know that he was talking about something crazy.
Why would you not listen to our podcast?
It doesn't matter. Whatever. He was sick that day. He was not feeling well. I understand.
I'm just letting you guys know, if I miss a day, I'm going to go back and listen because I care about you guys.
I really did intend to listen to it, but then work piles up, and next thing you know, it's this high.
Yeah.
I was like, screw the podcast.
I got you.
Yeah. All right, Monday Night Football.
It all starts with three hits, three chords.
Dun, 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 dun.
Have you seen the commercial that says
something?
Yeah, it goes... It's the only thing in the history of the world that only needs three chords.
Dun
dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun
dun dun dun dun.
God, that's so exciting.
It is so awesome. And let me tell you, last night I was looking forward to it. Ray's lock of the week or lock of the night was the Lions minus -7. So people, when we talk about this, because a lot of people don't understand the gambling aspect.
Thank you.
So let's break this down. When we say the Lions, let the gambler
break it down.
Okay.
What? When I said Lions minus -7, they had to win the game by 7.
Right.
And they didn't. They lost the game by 47. So I was not only wrong on that bet, folks, I was a landslide wrong. You probably weren't in that game if you bet it with me ever.
No, I think there's terms that people don't really understand.
Right,
like the spread.
The spread is
over under.
That's why I don't say it. I say they have to win by 7. I make it simple.
It's just like this. So say the Lions are minus -7. So that means Las Vegas thinks the Lions are going to win by 7 points or more. So when the game is over, you take 7 points away from the Lions score. If they still won, you won your bet. After you take that 7 points away, they are losing, you lost your bet. That's how it works.
Now, where I get a little confused is on the amount of money that you win. Like, you put down 100 to win whatever. How do you figure that out?
Okay,
it's usually even. There's juice, so you got to pay the bookie, the casino website, $10.
Yes.
You bet 100 to win 90, so you end up cashing out 190.
Is that usually what it is?
Yes. Usually, if you look at next to their name, the team name or whatever, it'll say -110 or -125. That means you have to bet $110 to win 100, or you have to bet $125 to win 100.
Got it.
Because there is, like he said, the casino takes the juice, so it's never really even. You don't really bet 100 to win 100. You have to bet a little bit more because they're taking a little bit of it. But if you have gambling questions, you can tweet us, Sore Loser Show on Twitter. We'll try to explain it a little more.
And then the over-under.
The over-under is Vegas sets a number where you combine the two scores, and if you believe it's going to be over that or under that. So at the end of the game, let's say the over-under is 54. You add the two scores. If it's over 54, the over wins, or if it's under, the under wins. That's it. And last night, I'm going to tell you what. Monday Night Football could not have started worse for Darnold. I mean, the first pass, throws an interception. They run it back for a touchdown. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. This is about to be a disaster. And can I say, I am so impressed how he picked himself up off the mat. And he looked really good.
Do you look great?
No.
Oh, yeah. Just checking.
No, he didn't look great, but a lot of quarterbacks...
Really good is less than... Got it.
Yes, a lot of quarterbacks would have folded.
What's the best thing a quarterback, like a player could look like? Like, if great is really good, what's like the max?
No, they can look great.
Amazing?
What?
Like, I'm trying to figure out your wording. Like,
no, you say every player's great.
No, like say... Just... But for example, let's say last night they looked... If they did A+, what is that word?
That's great.
Okay.
If the team won by over 30 points, I would say the quarterback was great.
Well, See,
this is why I'm asking.
See, that's
guys.
Why you were as a coach, you would be so annoying because you're never happy.
No.
As a coach, I would go in the locker room
as
and be
coach,
like,
Coach, as a co-host,
guys,
he's always annoying, never happy.
You do understand that there was like two pick sixes that Matthew Stafford, so it wasn't all, what I'm saying.
Hold on. I'm trying to break down the language that you're using. I want to know when you can say great. I want to know when you can say awesome. I want to know when you can say really good.
You can say it whenever you want. You can say it whenever you want. But throwing out great after 1 week is just not – I don't do that. I don't think a team is great after 1 week. They had a good game. So, yes, Sam Darnold impressed me last night because when he threw that pick six, his first throw in the NFL, I thought, oh, boy.
It was his first throw?
It was his first throw. That's what I'm saying. And so I thought –
first throw of the night, yeah.
I thought, oh, boy, we're in for a long night. His confidence is going to be shot, and it's going to be ugly.
And his parents were there.
Yes.
All the parents always go to these.
But instead...
Cue the crowd shot of the parents. Cool.
Or Danica Patrick.
He went to the bench, and he said in his post-game interview, he said, listen, I went to the bench and someone pulled me aside and said, hey, Brett Favre threw an interception on his first pass. Get back out there. And he said, I was just like, you know what? All right, let's move on. Let's get it back. And he did. Played so well. I was so impressed. And I can see already the Browns... And the Giants thinking, dang, maybe we should have drafted that guy.
The Browns are fine with their boy.
Yeah.
The baker, he's always going to be in
Browns
there.
Are good.
Dude, you're fine with a man that can bake the pies the way that the baker does. You don't mess with the baker in
what
the kitchen.
What does that mean?
I don't know. But if they're so fine
are
with...
Are you meaning baker in literal sense?
But yes, so there's that. So Sam Darnold looked wonderful.
Good.
Wonderful now. Holy crap, I've never heard you say wonderful. Is that better than great?
Oh my gosh. So, on the opposite end of the spectrum.
But he's lucky, though. Darnold's lucky that he was playing at Detroit, because if he was in New York after that interception, they'd have been throwing crap at him. Luckily, he was at Detroit, where
they
the place wasn't
booing.
Even full.
Instead, Detroit was
booing their own team.
Own team.
Everyone.
Stafford,
Patricia,
they
all
wanted
of them.
Fire.
Dude, I've never seen that before.
Fire.
If you live in Detroit right now, break out that garbage bag and put it over your face, baby.
One time
Lions
I was at a
football.
Cowboys game, and like I was so pissed. That was the night Romo got hurt. He broke his collarbone, and I was there, and everyone just sat down and like just didn't move. I'm like, come on, everybody get up. Let's go. Let's do this. We're still in it. Everyone's throwing crap at me. Like, shut up. Like, sit down. Game's over. We suck. Dude, the Lions guys were like booing their own team. They're throwing trash on the field. Like, they hated themselves. It's crazy. There was even a picture of a kid holding a sign that said, Go Jets, and he had a Lions jersey on.
That's really funny. It was so awesome how quick the crowd turned on the Lions.
That sucks, man. I hate that. It was
so bad. Yes, you're a fan. You paid your money, so you're allowed to voice your displeasure with what you see on the field. So my thing is, after watching Matthew Stafford last night, all I can think is, he to me is like a stripper.
Okay. Excuse me?
Yes, you walk into a strip club, mm-hmm. and you see her, and you're like, man, she's it. She's got the whole package. She's beautiful.
This is what you do when you
this
go to a strip
club? This is amazing. She's amazing.
Man,
Stafford.
Diamond. She's hot.
He looks
she's
like
perfect.
The ultimate quarterback, got a strong arm, which Ray loves. If you have a strong arm, Ray loves you as a quarterback.
Welcome down, Cinnamon.
Hey, so, stage number three. Dirt it.
If you guys like what you saw from Sugar, she'll be on the side stage.
Dirt it.
Oh, yeah.
Dirt
it. So, you see this stripper, and you think she's the whole package. Then you get her out in the light. Oh. After the club closes, you're going to go get some drinks.
After it's, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. The bar is closing.
Yes, you get Cinnamon outside.
Ladies, grab those $1 bills. There's no banks open tonight. You're going to have to spend that money.
So you get Cinnamon outside, and you see her in the light.
Who is actually taking Cinnamon outside after those strip clubs?
No one. Everybody in that bar thinks they're
going to
take Cinnamon.
I want him to keep going with his analogy, yes. But if anybody's out there and you've actually hung out with a stripper after the strip show.
Cinnamon's not going anywhere with you.
Loser.
But go ahead with your analogy.
Anyway, you get her
out. You want to get Cinnamon out of that light.
You get her out in the light, and you realize Cinnamon is not all you thought. Oh, she has some little hail damage on the back of the legs. Her
hail
face.
Damage?
Yeah, that's
cottage cheese.
Yeah, it's hail damage.
What strip clubs are you going to?
No. See, that's what I'm saying. Inside the strip club, you don't realize it. On first sight,
you got cottage cheese. Those dim lights, you can't see the hail damage.
At first sight, you're like, oh, that's beautiful. Sort of like Matthew Stafford. Oh, he's a prototypical awesome quarterback. Then you start investigating. You're like, you start looking at Cinnamon, and there's some flaws. You don't like her personality. Matthew Stafford is.
Wait,
Cinnamon.
Now you're having coffee with Cinnamon. You're getting to know Cinnamon a little bit in the light.
Yeah, I said you're having drinks.
Oh, man.
Yes. Matthew Stafford is that.
God help you if you take a stripper for drinks.
Let me tell you. Do you?
You got problems.
Matthew Stafford is like one of the top five highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL.
Not worth it.
Not worth it at all.
Hey, whoa. This is week one, dude. What are you doing? It's one game.
You want to hear his
Why are you judging this guy on one game? He only threw four interceptions.
You want to know why? In his career... against teams with winning records, he is 6-52. 6-52. That is garbage.
I hope somebody did that math for you and you didn't crunch those numbers.
I read an article.
You did it right now. I saw him with the calculator.
That is telling
Carry
you.
The one.
When
41.
He is supposed to win the game.
Divided by 17.
So if you're going against a team that is like supposedly better than you, you're not going to. 6-52, and you're paying him $26 million a year.
Yeah, you know who screwed him? Megatron just leaving the team. That'll screw a quarterback.
It doesn't matter. Even with Megatron there. Megatron was still in his career, right?
That's
a team
terrible.
With a winning record. Even with Megatron, he won six times.
They need to go that
six
backup.
6-52. Sorry, but I could spend my $26 million elsewhere. Get a different quarterback for $15 million and move. It is time to move on. He's never won a playoff game. 6-52. Guys, he is what he is. He looks good, and everybody thinks he's a good quarterback because he puts up good fantasy numbers. He throws for a lot of yards, and he's going to throw for a lot of touchdowns.
Did he throw for over 300 last night? He always does.
That's what I don't even know how many yards he threw for, but that's what I'm saying is – people see
he had to have thrown for a lot because they were down the whole game, so he had to have been throwing. I didn't watch the game. I was working, but I'm guessing he threw for a lot of yards.
Do you lose yardage when you throw a pick six?
Yeah, no. They minus
they
the
should.
Yards.
Carry the one, minus.
That's
minus
actually
seven.
Interesting. They should take
they totally
it away.
They totally should. It's the pick six. Take
and
it away.
I think they should give interceptions to a wide receiver because if it hits off the wide receiver and they say the quarterback threw an interception,
right, that's always kind of
deceiving.
A rip-off.
Yes, because it wasn't fair. Like,
right, it was a perfect
anyone's
throw.
Ball.
Yes, but Stafford, I'm just saying.
Patricia, stressing, sweating bullets.
He's supposed to be a pimp coming from the Patriots.
Hey, that pencil never left the ear, dude. It was like sharp the whole night.
The pencil flew from New England to Detroit.
I mean, hey, usually he writes his little notes. I think he gave up on life. He wasn't writing anything last night.
Matthew Stafford, 286 yards last night.
I was 14 yards away.
Dang, dude.
But that's not what I'm saying. People would see that and be like, oh, yeah, I got 25 fantasy points. Oh,
did he throw a touchdown?
He did throw a touchdown.
He did have a good fantasy game. But the Lions suck.
And that's what people see.
No, because you lose 2 points or 3 points every interception.
Who cares?
Right?
You got a touchdown. That equals it out.
Dude, he threw 4 picks.
Oh, he did?
He threw four picks.
So it was a bad fantasy game.
It's a bad fantasy game.
If I'm the Lions, I'm looking for a way to get rid of Matthew Stafford and start over. Start over. He's just not it.
Well, Detroit's in trouble because the Tigers suck too. You got a bad Detroit Tiger and you got a bad Detroit Lions.
And the Red Wings, man, they're just
and the Pistons. Yeah, the Red Wings didn't make the playoffs either.
That's terrible.
I'm sorry, Matthew Stafford. And people are gonna. I got into it with some people on Twitter
last night.
The
automotive industry, man.
No, it's on the rebound up there. Isn't it? They've been rebuilding Detroit. They've been doing some
water quality. Still not where it needs to be. So
that was Flint.
Oh, it's not a joke. That's a suburb.
I don't think that's a good joke.
I didn't say it's a joke. Just saying, like, Detroit's in a bad place.
Oh.
Not a joke.
No, they got Eminem.
Does he still live there?
Yeah. 8 Mile.
8 Mile. The song.
No, he doesn't live in the 8 Mile.
That's where he's from.
Yeah. He still lives in the trailer park?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
You ever driven by 8 Mile?
No, Coach, I've never been to Michigan.
You know the movie and how it always builds it up that it's scary?
Wait, you've been by the trailer park?
Every time I go by 8 Mile, we take pictures, dude.
Get out.
It is scary.
Do you have pictures that we can post?
No, on my old iPhone that...
Dang.
Hey, always doesn't have it.
Well, I mean, it's on Twitter.
So do you believe I'm Lunchbox?
No.
No, I always post it on Twitter when we pass 8 Mile when I'm coming from the airport.
Right?
No chance.
You can drive right by 8 Mile's a long road.
It's by the airport?
Yeah, it's really close to the airport.
I mean, I believe you because I don't know anything
about
it.
You drive down that road for a second, dude, your heart, like, the music, the moment you own it, you better never let go. Now you know how that song was created. Because if he didn't create that song, he didn't get off that street you're driving on.
B-Rabbit?
Yeah.
What do you mean he didn't get off that street?
That song got him off 8 Mile. You only get one shot. Do not miss it.
No, he was already off 8 Mile when he had that song.
And you can't prove that, really.
You don't come out with a movie your first thing. You have to have album, and then the movie.
But I'm saying you're thinking in your head, he took his shot and made it. All these other people, they only got one shot. You better lose it. You never let it go. Only got one shot. Missed their shot.
But you don't know. He could have gone to community college if the whole rapping thing wouldn't have worked out. And who knows? He could have
been the next Bill Gates.
You only get one shot. If you miss it, go to community college. You better lose
that. Oh.
Now I'm the manager at the restaurant making some money.
Because he worked at the power plant, man.
Yeah.
Up. Down.
Maybe running that power plant now, so you don't know.
Down.
Up. Down. You doing Karate Kid? Paint the fence. Up. Down.
I'm doing 8 Mile.
Wax on, wax off.
I was doing 8 Mile. Oh my gosh! Okay. Do you not know when he's in the plant? Eminem when he was working.
I never saw the movie. I never saw 8 Mile.
You haven't seen 8 Mile.
Where have you been? Bits and pieces. I saw that. I remember the
so
scene.
You did a Bobby Cast with Bobby and talked about the greatest music.
Yeah. That was his pick. That was his pick.
And you have never seen 8 Mile? Then you can't. You're discredited.
That movie is so good.
It's so good.
I've seen parts of it. I remember the scene where he walks in the trailer park and Kim Basinger, his mom, like
8 Mile.
Some other dude, right?
Yeah.
I remember that.
You know where that was shot?
8 Mile. By the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he never got off that road because of that song.
Yeah,
that's what put him into. Yeah.
You can drive.
I think it was Slim Shady, dude, the one that got him out of 8 Mile.
Yeah.
Because wasn't that his first hit? You're a big Eminem fan, right, Lunchbox?
Yeah. I don't know what you consider. I don't know how.
I don't know the exact song
that got him off 8 Mile, but you always need to pay homage to 8 Mile because that was his street, and he finally made it out of that street.
All right. Let's do it. Start with Lunchbox. What street do you pay homage to now that you, I mean, look at you, dude. You're hosting the Sore Losers podcast.
You're on the Bobby Bone Show.
You're the MVP. All you do is win. What do you pay homage to back home? Don't ever forget it. Go ahead.
That's easy. Silver Creek, dude. That's where the LWC used to run.
That sounds like a rich
Silver
street.
Creek? That's like you're gonna name your first rap album Silver Creek?
That sounds like it's off of a golf course.
Lose yourself. I made a movie. It's called Silver Creek Golf Community.
No, but that's where I grew up, and that's where the streets we ran, and it shaped me.
Nice, nice. Ray?
Dude, mine was, I'm going to say Balcones.
Coach, all these sound like country clubs.
Balcones Little League. Balcones Little League is where I played sports, so shout out.
I mean, Balcones Golf Club was pretty nice in Austin.
That's
what
I'm talking about.
I'd play Balcones.
My place was Balcones.
Yeah, I didn't live in there. near there.
Off 183?
Yeah, that was like 15 minutes for me. That was other side of the track.
Dude, the reason I know about Coney's, that's where I was interning. That's where I was getting, I was still wet behind the ears. You know what I'm saying?
What about you, Eddie?
Lake James.
Okay, you lived on
the lake. Everybody's Silver Creek, a lake.
You guys make fun of Silver Creek.
Everyone's rich. But here's the thing. I lived in a really nice community. It's called Lake James. It's really, really like
big. And then he's going to say he lived in the back
of the woods. Huge houses. But no. There was a fence, and I lived on the other side of the fence.
Okay.
But guess who had access to that lake? Me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Lake James. That's where it's at. Lose yourself. The moment.
Are we touching another sports topic?
Yeah, we're talking about, let's talk about John Gruden.
Chucky?
Oh, yeah, they got.
I didn't think he'd be good. I didn't think he'd be good because just listening to his commentary, it was always dating himself. Like, every time he talked about stuff, it was like something they used to do in the 90s. Like I just felt like he's going to come into the league. There's so many young coaches, especially last night. Like, there's so many young coaches with new ideas that Gruden's just going to get, like, just rolled over. I mean, he held his own last night, though. I'll give it to him.
He did?
Yeah,
33-13.
Yeah, because that didn't happen until the last. I mean,
second half.
Fourth quarter, really.
All these people that brought in all these hotshot coaches, they all get rolled. Chip Kelly, UCLA.
I mean, it's got to be hard commentating for how many years?
9 years, I believe.
9 years in the booth. And then he's going to go back down and coach. Like,
why did he do that?
Yeah.
Because they gave him $100 million. Why would you not?
My bad.
I mean, $100 million? Yeah, okay.
I feel like it's a lot of stress, man.
When he's doing the Gruden camps on ESPN, and he's like trying to teach the kid, and the kid's like, I learned this in like middle school.
That's what I'm saying, dude. All this stuff is so old school.
Hey, when you're throwing the ball, you want to always look over his shoulder.
Serpentine, son.
Yeah, that's what I always, this is the easiest stuff I've ever learned.
When you throw the ball, your first hand follows the ball
hand. You got to put the left foot in front of the right. Well, no crap, Gruden.
You got to use your foot, tap your foot, and that'll move the motion.
Huh?
Tap the foot.
Huh?
Okay, all right.
Every quarterback looks at him like, I've learned that a lot of times. This isn't the first time. Thanks for bringing me to Gruden camp.
Yeah.
Is this really going to be aired? Because that was a horrible lesson.
What did you think, Lunch?
Going in, I thought, like you,
yeah,
Gruden is outdated. And I don't know if he was even that good of a coach back when he won a Super Bowl with Tony Dungy's players down in Tampa, and every year they were there. He was there after that. They got worse and worse and worse because he started making personnel decisions, sort of like trading away Khalil Mack. And last night after the game, they had two hits on the quarterback all night. And he said, yeah, we're going to have to go back and watch film and evaluate why we didn't get any pressure on the QB. Maybe because you traded the number one.
Chucky said that?
Yeah, like what? I don't understand, but... And Derek Carr didn't help him through three interceptions. Looked kind of bad. Didn't look good.
Derek Carr always kind of looks bad.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part, he always looks bad. I always expect a lot out of him.
Beast Mode had a couple good runs.
Oh, he had a Beast Mode.
I saw a Beast Mode
run,
highlight run
where he
for a
carried
touchdown,
like
right?
six people into the end zone.
Well, he got some help, but I mean still, that's crazy.
That's
when
Beast Mode.
Beast Mode.
Beast Mode.
Beast Mode.
You're always at that party. The guy knows nothing about the NFL, but he's always like, beast mode.
Yeah, beast mode. Oh, what? I think it was that Super Bowl when Seattle was in the Super Bowl.
And I'm like, you always look over at that guy. Do you know any other football player on the
beast
field?
Beast mode.
Beast mode. Okay, so you saw that on SportsCenter, so you know one football player.
And you get the group text if you're on group text with guys whenever. Last night, I got it. Beast mode. And I'm like, okay, guys. I was like, that was impressive, though.
Yeah, it really was.
Because it was. It is amazing to see him just.
Dude, they pulled a picture from him in high school.
Awesome.
And it was crazy. He looked like he had a big old smile, glasses. He kind of looked like Steve Urkel, like a rip Steve Urkel. But it's crazy to see him in high school. To me, you look at the picture and you see this happy kid, like funny, great personality. And then they smash cut to beast mode. Dude's got dreads tatted on his neck. I mean, the dude looks like he wants to kick your ass every time he sees you. Like, how does that personality change like that? Or is it just the image?
It's just the image. He's still a nice guy.
Okay, so he plays it up.
I think he's really personable. Sort of like Greg Popovich. People think, oh, he's such a jerk because... He's kind of sarcastic and very short with the sideline reporters in the NBA when they interview him in between quarters. He just thinks it's dumb for you to have to be interviewed in between quarters.
That's it.
And everybody says when you talk to them, like Charles Barkley and all these other people say, besides that, he is the nicest guy in the NBA.
I feel like anyone that has a neck tattoo is like a bad dude. Like he'll just like... I'm scared of you. If you have a neck tattoo, face tattoo, you're stupid. Like, you're dumb. You have a face tattoo. Neck tattoo is like, you mean business.
I agree with you on that.
I feel like Beast Mode will just like...
He has a neck tattoo?
Yeah, he's got multiple neck tattoos.
I don't feel... I feel like he's a nice guy, though. But there are some people, when they see... I see neck tattoo, I'm like, do not mess with that dude.
Don't even look at him.
And when you have a face tattoo, I think...
He's an idiot.
You have no future.
Yes.
No, for...
Yes.
Unless you're going to be a musician, that's the only option.
Even then, you better have hit after hit.
Or you're going to work at the coffee shop.
Yeah.
That's it. A hipster coffee shop, because you're not going to work anywhere else. You're not going to work at a place of business. Dell is not going to hire you to run anything.
Well, and those people that got the sleeve tattoos on both arms, you're cool right now. I get it. It's all stylish. No, no, everybody in LA
better.
Does
you
that.
Cover that.
But when that's not in style, it sucks for you because you're going to look so dumb.
No. Tattoos on the sleeve. The sleeves are coming in. They used to be taboo and not allowed.
Right, I'm saying
now,
they're
now,
in.
Just imagine you walk into a meeting with Charles Schwab, or I don't even know what they do at Charles.
Oh, yeah, Charles.
Schwab.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you walk in like, oh, yeah, I'm here for my, I have a 3:30 appointment with Jackson.
Or Charles.
Yeah. And so they take you back and you walk in and Jackson sent me on a desk and he's got face tattoos. I'm out.
The dude's name is Jackson?
I'm just trying to come up with a name. That works at Charles Schwab and has face tattoos. No chance you could ever walk into a business like that and them have face tattoos.
What I think is funny is that you're going to have, in 50 years, you're going to have grandpas with sleeves, like all wrinkled, like everyone that thinks they look cool now. In 50 years, you're going to be on a walker
and
a wheelchair with like sleeves.
Okay, have you seen an 80-year-old guy with tattoos?
No.
Yes.
I haven't. I want to know what they look like.
An anchor. He's got like an anchor and maybe like a rose.
And a girl, and he flexes and you can see her.
Yes, or mom on his bicep. Like, they don't have sleeves. The sleeves are going to look funny on old people.
Just go to the gas station in a rougher part of town and you see old people get out of their cars and their skin is all sagged and they have tattoos. It looks terrible.
Yeah, so, but they don't have sleeves is what I'm saying.
And you know the dumbest thing about tattoos? I would actually consider getting a tattoo, but you know every couple years you have to get it redone and darkened?
Or else it fades out.
That sunlight. Is the dumbest thing. Why would... So you have to re-get the tattoo.
Ray, do you have tattoos?
No.
Lunchbox, do you have tattoos?
Never.
I thought about getting it, but then people told me, yeah, they fade, and every couple years you have to get them touched up. I'm like, what?
What would you get if you were to get one?
I always wanted to get my last name on my back. Okay. Slater. I wanted to get an old English, look awesome.
You wouldn't do it like Kelly Slater does with an 8 because he's an 8 world champion?
I could do that as well. Something cool like that, but then I totally...
Did he retire? Because what if he gets a 9?
I don't think he surfs anymore.
I mean, I don't know anything about surfing.
He might, but I don't think...
I don't know how you know that about Kelly Slater because... Well,
dude, he was the world champ for years.
But
I'll say...
And that was his logo. It was SL and the number 8.
We get it.
8,
SL8 and then Tur. We get that 8 is also like AT.
With a little crown on top of the 8 for all those triple crowns. But
Eddie gave me the shirt. It was actually a very generous gift.
Yeah, I got that in Hawaii, dude.
It's an awesome shirt.
And so you, Lunchbox, have you ever thought about getting a tattoo?
Never in my life.
And I would almost say a majority of the population doesn't look good in tattoos.
No. There are some
badass guys who are jacked. They look so cool in tattoos.
I'm going to tell you what. There are some girls that I love when they have a sleeve. I mean, it is so freaking hot. Freaking hot. Yeah.
Does your wife have a sleeve?
Are we talking a full sleeve up to the...
That's fine. But there are some girls that I see a tattoo and I'm like, wow, that looks great on you.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There are people who look good in tattoos. I'll tell you from my standpoint, unless I'm tan, I don't look good in a tattoo.
Guys, if tattoos are cool, it's body art. It's awesome. But when you're 50 years old or 80 years old, it's going to look terrible.
But Eddie, for you, when you're at the pool with your kids, I get summer's kind of coming to an end. But when you're at the pool with the kids and you got a tattoo, wouldn't you feel a little bit more badass? Because you're just kind of like dad bod.
No.
I got my kids. What if you had a tattoo?
No, dude. I've seen some of the parents that have tattoos and you can just be, got that spring break. It sucks. Sorry. they're not proud of their
tattoos.
Tattoos.
I would think you'd be a little bit more badass at the pool. You're drinking, you got a tattoo, instead of you just Eddie Dad.
Like that mom with a butterfly on the back. Like, it's like, oh man, it's a good thing it's on her back because she probably forgot she has that butterfly, but we're all seeing it.
I don't mind. I get maybe getting a tattoo on your shoulder, a little bit on your arm, but when you get them all over your chest, girls, it just does.
I almost want to say that's when
the rib cage.
People become addicted. That's not that they just end up doing
There was a guy in my old neighborhood that I lived at. He would ride his bike with shirtless, and he had a tramp stamp. The small of his back, he had some tribal pattern. No, I swear to God. And my wife would always either, honey, babe, come. There's the dude with a back tattoo. And he rode around the neighborhood like he was just like, check out my tats. You don't have to take your shirt off, but he sported that tramp stamp. This is amazing.
Gross.
The dude was probably in his 40s.
He probably has a personal dilemma in his head going, man, should I get this removed or not? No, I'm just going to own it. I'm going to keep it.
There's an advantage to having a tattoo on your back. You don't have to see it every day. He probably forgets it's there, honestly.
No, you don't forget you have a tattoo.
You don't?
No.
But I feel so bad for those people on spring break to get a tattoo. I feel so bad.
I'm telling you, dude, that's
drunken
a lot.
Mistakes. I guarantee you that.
I feel so bad on that one. And just Vegas. You go to Vegas and get a tattoo?
Yes.
I feel so bad for those people. Dude, that is a regret.
I also,
you want to talk about a regret?
Oh, friends that get matching tattoos?
Yes, yes.
This is what I
regret.
Love.
Regret.
Regret, because a lot of them end up not being friends 5 years later.
Especially right. The chicks.
Yeah. Well, hey, do you guys want to get a sore losers tattoo?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, let's do it. You go first, and then I'll do it.
No, we'd have to do it all together.
Nope.
Hey,
I'm never going to get a tattoo, so no.
Before we even made $1 on the show, we all decided to get a group tattoo. Yeah. Well, the show folded, we never made any money, and we got the tattoo.
No, we're going to be sore losers for the rest of our
lives. So now when I'm at the pool with my kid, it says losers on
Dad,
my side.
Dad, what sore losers mean?
Dad, why does your side just say losers? Well, there's another guy on the show. I had him get sore, and then I got losers.
That was a thing called a podcast that we did a long time ago.
And then,
it got a whole 6,000 listens a day. Congratulations. We are big time.
And the third guy on the show, his name's Lunchbox. We had him get podcast, so it said sore losers podcast.
And now if you put us all three together, it looks really cool.
It looked awesome when we were all together.
That's funny.
Would you let your kids, when they turn 18, get a tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, because it's just freedom, you know, like it's what they want to do to their body. That's fine. It's not my call. But although my dad, he would threaten us, like, you're not getting a tattoo. Like, I'll kick you out of my house if you got a tattoo. And my brother and my sister have tattoos. And I don't think my dad knows.
Oh, delete that.
Why like, would you say that on the podcast? I mean, he's going to
because he's
this.
Old now, and we're all older. I don't think my siblings would care.
And do parents do tattoo checks still? Like when you're
and that's when I tell my brother and sister, I'm like, who cares? Like my brother, he'll walk out of the shower when we're like Christmas time, we're all at the house. He walks
Why
out.
Why the hell is he taking a shower at Christmas time?
No, because we all travel. We all travel to my parents' house.
Oh, okay.
And so we're all staying there.
But like you guys are about to eat, and your brother's just getting out of the shower.
No. Like in the morning, say we're at the breakfast table, and he gets out of the shower. He always has a towel over his left shoulder. Like it's almost like he threw it over his shoulder, but it's to cover his stupid tattoo.
Hey, brother, why don't you just wear the tattoo towel normally around your waist?
He'll have the one around the waist and then one over the shoulder. And now, like you know, they're gonna question why you have that towel every single time.
Why do you wrap your towel like you're a chick and you got boobs? Boobs. Because I'm trying to hide that
tattoo.
That's
so funny that he's still scared of your dad.
I don't think
How
it's
old
fear.
Is your brother?
It's more respect. Like, he doesn't want to piss my dad off.
No, that's scared. He's
Dude,
scared.
It's scared at times. I mean, these parents, people boss you around for 18 years.
Yeah.
Are you still scared of your parents?
Dude, my dad's 6'6".
No. That's
wait,
not the
hey,
question.
Do your parents listen to this podcast?
No.
Can we talk about your situation the last time your parents came to visit?
Yeah, I don't care.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Okay, tell a story.
I don't know what story you're talking about.
How you had to act like you weren't living with your girlfriend.
Oh, I just had to act like I wasn't living with my chick. So I,
How old are you?
33.
Okay.
So one of my buddies let me just have his room in his house. And so then I put up a diploma, had a couple shirts.
Wait,
and then,
you got your belongings, a couple ball caps,
a cut-off shirt, and then some pre-workout and put it in a room so it made it look like I lived there when I really just lived with my chick.
Did you ever drive your parents by the house to look at your quote room?
It was so quick. They were in town for a couple days and out.
He had to. He had to show them where
he lived.
Where
he lived, yeah.
I just do not understand as a 33?
33.
As a 33-year-old man, being scared to tell your parents
not
you live
scared,
with your
coach,
girlfriend.
It's just for 18 years you were bossing.
Right.
Just,
so almost, so listen, you've almost been out of their house for 18 years.
Exactly.
So
coach,
you,
if, here's the thing. Parents have the choice of switching roles. So they can be parents their entire life, or when you turn 18, 25, they can then be cool and be your friends. My parents just decided to always be parents.
Okay.
And so since they've decided to always be parents, coach, I'm always going to be kind of like that.
I totally get that. I understand that.
Good explanation,
That's
coach.
A good explanation because my parents, I guess, would be more
I
like
would say
friends.
Yours have transitioned to friends.
Yes.
Dude, my parents...
You curse around your parents' lunchbox. Like
lunch is cooler around his dad than he is with
around
us.
Absolutely, yeah.
Dad, yeah, go pee
hey,
yourself.
Dad, go, hey,
you
dad.
Son of a peep. Like, dad, all right, come on. Dad, give me a peeping beer. Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, see, if I said anything like that around my parents, they'd just be like, dude, what did you say?
Yeah,
still,
what are you,
and
what
I'm
are you
39
fearful?
Years old.
Fearful?
So,
what are you scared, boy?
What about these professional athletes? Do once they make it and they make all this money, do the parents expect them to take care of them?
100%. Yeah, 100%.
No, but you talk about an immediate role reversal. The parent goes from in control to, wow, the kid has all the money and now they have power. And the parent's kind of like, eh.
Ray, this is deep because you look at it as control. Like, so. There is a different kind of parenting style, like controlling parents and then parents that just kind of, I raise you, and then good luck with life, right?
Yes.
So obviously, I think, Ray, you and I have parents that they're controlling. I mean, that was their role as parents. They control you. And you're right. As a parent, when your kid makes more money than you, doesn't need you anymore, doesn't need the house, doesn't need anything from you, it's frightening for the parent because you're like, oh, crap, I lost all control of my kids.
You know that's happening all over sports. All these athletes every year getting tons and tons of signing bonuses.
Yeah. Right. And so immediately, do these parents think, right when, because these kids, Sam Darnold's 23, 24 years old, 22, whatever, they're real young, and they're millionaires. Do those parents immediately say, I'm retired, my kid's going to take care of me? They expect that?
I don't know.
No, the majority of the parents have raised these kids so well, they generously give them the money, everything just goes hunky-dory, but the parents probably can't control them that much because of the money. It's immediate power.
Well, no, they can't control them, no, because they're adults. I don't understand you guys' mind frame. As an adult, your parents can't control you.
I know.
Your own mind.
Yeah, right. You're right. It's just the way your parents raised you. Like, if you grew up thinking that your parents controlled you, like my brother, he still puts the thing on his arm because, like, well, my parents, like, they're my parents. They'll get mad at me if I have a tattoo. Like, it's that mentality. They scared him his whole life. So they're going to act that way. My question is, though, when you're Sam Darnold, and your parents just, he's probably full pits. I mean, all these guys are full ride, right? Scholarships for the most part.
Absolutely.
I was thinking like.
Most of them are. If they're making it, they are full ride scholarships.
Okay, well, maybe you're, I don't know, maybe you were a late rounder and you weren't full. I don't know. But if your parents help pay for college and then you sign this huge contract.
Yeah, you got to give them
some money.
Do
you just give them like, here you go. Thank you for college. Thank you for
it
my first car. Like.
Most people are going to pay their parents back some way. That's why parents will do the gift. Here's your first car. Here's your college. But down the road, you're going to help them out. You're going to take care of them. It's just understood.
But then there's the situation sometimes where the parents exploit the kids and take advantage of the kids.
Those are rare, though. I think most parents just think they're so blessed that their kids are in the NFL. They could never have imagined it.
What's his name?
No, they don't exploit them.
Lonzo Ball?
LaVar Ball?
LaVar Ball, doesn't he exploit his kids?
No, yeah. I mean, sure.
What do you mean? But
he's so supportive. He loves
that's not
kids.
Supportive. Supportive is, giving your kid what he needs to succeed and then be there for him
it
with whatever
like
he needs.
It.
This dad is holding all his kids' hands and say, follow me. I got you. This is what you need to do. I'll be right by your side on camera, not off camera. On camera, I'll be by your side. I'm going to make you decisions for you. Trust me. We're a family. We stick together. We'll make these decisions. And, by the way, let's split it four ways. Give some to daddy. That's what he's doing.
But he created Big Baller Brand, so he's fine money-wise. And the kids signed their own contracts.
But he wouldn't be able to create that without his kids.
Right. Absolutely. So
there you go.
I get it.
What do you think, Lunch?
LaVar Ball drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I see it as... I wish all dads were as supportive of their kids.
He's supportive,
as he is.
Dude.
He believes in his kids 100%, and he's backing them, and he's putting them out there because without him, they wouldn't be as famous as they are, and they wouldn't make as much money without him.
Okay.
So exactly. he is raising their platform to get them more audience and get more eyes on them and get them more marketable. It may be annoying. But it works, or else the TV cameras wouldn't be in front of him. The microphones wouldn't be in front of him.
Okay, but here's my take on it. The only reason we think he's supporting them is because we see him supporting them. You're telling me that every parent to every NBA star or every athlete, pro athlete, that's not on camera next to, Eli and Peyton or next to their kids, whatever, like they're not supporting their kids? I mean, yeah, Archie Manning supported them as much as LaVar, whatever his name is. There's just the difference is he's on camera all the time. That's why we think he supports them more than all these parents.
Wait, hold on. No one said he supports them more than any parent.
You said
there are some parents.
You said he supports them, and that's what you like about it.
Yeah,
he supports them. And you said that you wish that like.
No, I didn't say I wish. Other parents would do. I'm saying he believes in them no matter
what. That's what it is. He believes so much in them. But you don't think every other parent?
No, not all of them.
I mean, we can't speak for all of them, but I would say the majority of parents
are proud.
Because
a lot of these people say they don't know their parents or they don't know their dad or they don't know their mom. And so for him to be like
it, okay, so this is a deeper conversation.
Right,
you're talking about like poverty kids and like kids that don't have parents. That's different. I'm not talking about them.
Well, you just said any parent. And that's what I'm saying is it's good to see a father in the light in their life. The African-American community, a lot of the times the father's not there of these athletes. If you hear them talk and hear their stories, it's always their mom, their dad. They don't know their dad. Their dad wasn't there. LeBron James, his dad wasn't there until he was however old. And that's what I'm saying. So it's good to see him supporting his kids. Do I think he's made some bad decisions? Yes. The middle brother, he quit UCLA and thought he was going to go pro, and he's terrible. And he went and played in Lithuania for a couple games and then thought he was going to get drafted by the NBA. He should have stayed in college. That was probably a bad decision by LeVar Ball. And he probably, as a 19-year-old kid, listened to his dad, and probably a mistake. But I still think his dad supports him. He's annoying as crap. I think he's annoying. But I like the fact that he supports them. He drives them. He gets them out there. He gives them opportunity.
I mean, okay.
That's just how I look at it. I find him.
I mean, I didn't know you were taking it deeper. Like, he is an example of what dads should be, present dad.
Yes,
but again,
be there.
We have to remember that anything we see is that we see it for a reason. Like, that the reason we think that he's a supportive dad and he's a great dad and he's an example that everyone should be is because he's there. Let's not forget all the great parents that are supporting all their kids right now and their athletes that are making long drives across the state or to other states, putting them in programs or on road teams when they're 8 years old or 10 years old. There's so much commitment that parents have to do for kids that want to be pro athletes from the time that they start Little League, man. I mean, it's just constant. And there are a lot of parents that don't ask for credit. I don't know if they ever get paid back for that. And I wouldn't even look thinking about the parents that weren't there. You're right about that. And I think that is cool that he does serve as an example for that. But there are a lot of parents out there that have sacrificed so much of their time to help their kids get to where they are. Like, I see Todd Frazier, you know, the third baseman.
Yeah.
I see him, and that dude was in Little League World Series, like, just a baller. You know that his parents took him everywhere to get to where he is today. Sacrificed their lives. And I don't know if he has siblings, but some of the siblings have to sacrifice because this kid has future, all of that stuff. And none of his parents are getting credit for it, like whatever LeVar Ball is, because
so
he
they
wants
don't want
to be
the credit
on camera.
So LeVar Ball wants to be on camera.
Yeah.
He wants to be famous.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not no longer about your kids at that point. As a dad, I think that's stupid.
He's building a business, though. He wants to build
your
a business.
Your kids are going to build a business.
No. He wanted the big baller brand. He wanted to build a business. So how do you build a business? You get in front of the cameras and you get your name out there. That's what you do. And that's how he did it. And you may not agree with it. Right. Some parents don't want to be in the spotlight. They don't want to be in front of the camera. But he does.
Okay.
The Kardashians.
The only problem. Well, that's another thing. I have a problem with that too. I mean, the thing is, your kids are the stars. Your kids are the athletes. Your kids are the talent. You want to be the businessman? Fine. Give them business advice. Run their business. You don't have to do a press conference. You don't have to be the face of your children. Let them be children. You're not let it. Dude, it's crazy to watch some of those press conferences. Lunch. When it's him sitting next to his kid, and the kid's not saying anything, he's doing all the talking.
That's the thing.
Ridiculous.
They're adults. If they want their dad to shut up, they can say, "Dad, shut up."
They don't know what to say because dad's been talking nonstop.
Well, grow a pair and tell your dad, if you want your dad to shut up, tell him to shut up. Lonzo Ball is an NBA player. An NBA player. Time to grow up. If you want your dad to shut up, tell him to shut up. If you're okay with it, then hey. And I understand that they're not used to it. And it's hard to take a stand against your parents. It's probably weird. Like, ooh, I don't like this very much. And I wonder if he gets razzed in the locker room because his dad doesn't shut up.
Maybe not to his face, but.
But yes, I see what you're saying. But some parents can't let go of living through their kids because they think they should have made it.
Yeah, well, I agree with that.
And so they want to they want to soak it up as much as they can. Yeah, that's probably bad. But who am I to say LeVar Ball's annoying in my opinion, but I do like the fact that he supports his sons.
Hey, you did pull an angle there that I didn't even think about. I mean, if he could serve as a good example for dads to be, like, then good. Yeah, dads should be a little more stand up and support their kids and be around. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, even if their kid isn't good enough and you're going to pull him out of school and tell him he's going to make the NBA and he's not going to make the NBA, hey, you may ruin his life, but you think you're doing what's best for your kid, then I guess I can't judge you, but that's it.
All right, I have a personal dilemma, and it's a little transition into what we're talking about. My 5-year-old boy, my 5-year-old son, Junior, he's in a baseball league. So this is his second year playing baseball. Now, third season. The first season that he played, it was T-ball.
Yeah. Well, they put the ball in a tee.
Yes. And then the second season was coach pitch. And he got, and this is the same league. There's no different. It's just kind of, it's spring ball and fall ball.
Yeah.
So he transitioned from T-ball to coach pitch. And then now this season, they're going back to 3 pitches. And if he misses them, he gets a hit off the tee.
Okay.
And I feel like that's backwards. I got a little frustrated because I'm like, my son's moving forward. He's used to coach pitch now. Like, why
how
are
many,
we...
How many pitches did he get in coach pitch?
He got 5.
And then he's out?
At 5, and then you're out. You got to sit down.
See...
And I feel like it's backwards. I feel like, and I'm not arguing with the coach really, because the coach, he agrees. I mean, we all kind of agree, but the league is just feeling, I guess, I don't know, it's the way the fall ball works, where it's like, it's fall ball, it's not so serious anymore. But I don't understand. For me as a parent that has a kid who's trying to get better, is I don't want him hitting off the tee again. I like the idea of him striking out and sitting down. He didn't like it, obviously. But what do you think? I mean, you have a son. He's just, you know, he's a newborn. But what would you want for your kid?
I mean, they're 5. I think you're making a big deal of nothing.
But I see him progress, is my point.
Right. And, so he should hit one of those three.
Right. And if he doesn't, he
hits off the tee. I don't think it's a big deal.
Oh.
I don't think this is going to stunt his growth as a baseball player. If he's going to make the major leagues.
Well, relax. I'm talking about just him like playing, you know, I mean, I'd like for him to, he enjoys the sport. I don't care if he plays or not. He enjoys the sport.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
So,
I just don't.
So when I see him doing coach pitch, it's pretty impressive. At 4 years old, he was doing coach pitch and making contact with most of them. Like, that's impressive.
And it's still coach pitch. It still is.
Yeah.
It's just.
And another thing that makes me upset is that there are kids, obviously, that aren't getting practice at home. And I'm not trying to win games with 5-year-olds in the league. But, like, really, there are some kids that.
So they should be sitting the bench.
Don't even know how to hold a bat. And I'm like, dads, like, come on. Like,
LeVar Ball, where are you at?
LeVar Ball, where are you at? I'm just like, just at home.
Do you think LeVar Ball's kids knew how to hold the bat? Shoot a basketball?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Think he was there coaching him?
I have no problem with that. I'm talking about, why are we going back to this?
No, I'm just asking.
I don't want him at the press conference. Yes, teach him how to shoot a basketball. Yes, help him. Help your kids out. I get it.
So, but maybe some of these dads on the team don't know how to play baseball. They don't know how to hold a bat. They didn't play baseball as a kid. They weren't into sports.
Well, it puts all of us other dads in a weird situation because the coach who doesn't get paid anything, he just volunteers to be a coach, has to coach these kids and teach them how to do things like hold a bat.
Yeah.
While all the other dads just sit on the bench, don't do anything. And even our coach, like 2 weeks ago, he was like, any dads out there like throwing the hint, like come out here and help.
So did you go out there and help?
I help every time.
Okay.
Yeah, I help every time. And I'm not, I don't really make decisions for the team.
But maybe they don't know how to. That's what I'm saying. Maybe they're not. They don't watch baseball, so they can't help. They don't know what they're supposed to teach, so they just watch.
Well, while your kid's YouTubing on how to hold a bat, you should probably learn how to hold a bat too, and then you guys can figure it out together. Like something like
so
that.
So you're parent shaming.
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit because, I mean, I'd like for parents to be involved in the team. Like, I guess I was...
And that's why they didn't sign up to coach, though, is because they didn't want to be a coach.
Correct. I didn't sign up to coach either, but I do enjoy, you know, helping the team out and pitching in. Because in this league, in fall ball, like this season right now, all the dads could be on the field if they want. So I can stand next to my son and kind of, you know, coach him while the game's going on.
So you have a problem... Hold on. So you have a problem with them going backwards on hitting... But you're okay with you now being able to stand in the field.
Yeah, because they want to pick grass sometimes. The field's tricky in baseball with 5-year-olds.
But that's what I'm
because
saying.
Because the attention span's not there.
I understand, but it's funny how, were you able to stand in the field in the spring?
No.
Okay, so you're okay with him going backwards in that degree, but you're not okay with it going backwards.
It's not backwards.
No, it is backwards.
It's not.
Yes, because
you don't have to tell. You don't have to. One, right, you don't have to stand.
You don't
there.
Have to, but you have the option to. The fact is, in the spring, you didn't even have the option to. It was more like a real baseball game. Now that they're doing the hitting thing, you're like, man, I can't believe they were gonna stunt my kid's growth in his baseball, you know, dreams and him playing. I feel like it's a step backwards, but I'm excited. I get to stand out in the field and talk to him and tell him be paying attention. So it's kind of a.
I just don't want the tee to be an option.
I understand.
I don't want the tee to be an option in his game. Like that's
you got to give and take. If you're okay with stepping back in one direction with the tee, then you standing in the field is also a step back.
Okay.
That's just my opinion. I think.
No, it's great. I mean, well, that's why we have this show. You can have your opinion.
Yeah, and my opinion's usually right.
I struggle with it. Not really.
Yeah, that's why.
Do you have anything you'd like to take back, by the way?
No, I don't have anything I'd like to take back.
Anything that you've said? Because I do.
Okay.
In past podcasts, I talk about deodorants and antiperspirants and just regular deodorants. I said that only antiperspirants have the white chalky stuff. I was wrong. Apparently, there's some new technology where they have antiperspirant gels.
Got it.
Okay. Sorry, I was wrong. Good thing about our Twitter, dude. People just tell us when we're wrong.
No, that's great. Sore Loser Show on Twitter, and people tell me when I'm right, too, and I'm right all of the time. I'm right about everything we talked about today. Matthew Stafford, get rid of him. Time to move on.
You have some dude talking to you about the Georgia Bulldogs. Like, what's that about?
Oh, he kept saying, you don't ever mention Georgia. You don't ever mention Georgia. And then I put them on upset alert this weekend, and they came out and waxed South Carolina, and I said they proved they're one of the three teams right now that I think are just – head and shoulders above everybody else in college football. They've just...
So you've changed your mind on that?
Yeah. Well, no, I thought they were good. I thought they were good. I just didn't realize they were that good. I thought there would be a little drop-off from last year, losing their running backs and some guys off their defense, and they took it to them. So they're the cream of the crop, them, Alabama, and Ohio State. And I think Oklahoma's really good, too. But now that they lost their running back for the year, we'll see. But... that's it. I don't know. We're out. We didn't,
all right, man.
We just kind of rambled today.
Did we lose Ray?
Yeah, he got kind of disinterested in the parent talk and the LeVar Ball, and he had some work to do, I think, or something. And I don't know.
He's MIA. He just kind of ran out of here.
And we rambled on for a long time. I don't know if people like that. We just kind of rambled.
Well, what I've heard is that people don't really hang out after 30 minutes.
Well, you talked to two people. You told me in Arkansas, I don't base my on two people. I'm not going to base my decision.
Well, only five people listen to this thing. So,
well, that's what I'm saying, but that's not even 50%. So I'm not going to listen to only two of the five.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
You know what I mean? I need more than 50%.
I don't know how you listen to podcasts, but from these two people that I talked to, they said they listen commutes.
Right.
So on the way to work or on the way home, usually about 20 minutes. They said so they don't get to finish it. I think it's unfortunate.
That's not my problem.
It's not my problem either.
I like to ramble and I like to talk. So if you don't listen for more than 30 minutes, you're missing.
You love to talk.
Yeah. All right. God, we'll see you tomorrow. Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Go subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And rate us.
And rate us and hate us.
Either way. Oh, and all you guys that survived the Eliminator Survivor Pool, go back and don't forget your picks. There were about 20 people that didn't make picks last time. So don't be that person.
Yeah. And we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. See you guys.